Okay, we are ready for our conversation this evening. Welcome. I sent a special email out earlier today because we're starting our new life tonight. We're going to start with quality number one, quality one of intentional creation. We're going to talk about intentionally creating our dreams, and we're going to start with the most important of all of the qualities, which is connection with people. Zog said, muscle can split a shield and even destroy life, but only the unseen power of love, agape love, can open the hearts of men. And until I master this art, which we're going to talk about tonight, this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. Just for information, we are getting prepared to write a book. Matter of fact, it's in writing right now with 7 of our 10 authors. They're all coaches who are preparing to become speakers and coaches for Augmandino. Each one of them is writing a chapter. Most of you will get an email probably this evening or tomorrow letting you know that we're looking for 3 final people who want to be coaches and authors and speakers with the Augmandino material. We have decided to promote our coaches. So as we're training our new coaches, they're going to be writing a chapter in this new book. There'll be 10 of them on this very topic, agape love, all the different facets of it, all the different ways in which it can be applied in our life. We're so excited about this. We have a little over 5,000 books already pre-sold. We'll probably be up to 7 or 8 by the time the book is out. We're hoping to put out around Christmas time. It's going to be just a wonderful book. So be watching for that on this topic. We haven't got a final topic for it, but it's agape is going to be in the title. I'll greet this day with love in my heart from Augmandino. I'll be able to write the foreword for it, and what a fun book. So I just want to let you know that's all in process right now. Well, everybody have a pen and a paper prepared for this evening. Are you ready to take some notes and participate? If you don't have noise in the background, I'm going to invite you to come off of mute so you can just be here with me. Many of you have been through this conversation before, either as a coaching client and or on these Tuesday night calls. And tonight I'd like to take this a little deeper, not more complicated, just a little bit more personal, so that we can work on your connection. I want you to open up your assessments for a moment. If you can get to your assessment, Augmandino.com, and log in the top right-hand side. Just press log on and get to your assessment. If you could do that just quickly so you have your assessment available. I want you to notice that when your assessment opens up, that this top left-hand side of the assessment is generally one of the most clear areas of your assessment. We are playing tonight to your strength. I was in a wonderful call this morning with this amazing human being who's saying, I'm not sure empathy is my strength. And as we had our conversation, we came to the conclusion it is. However, like almost all of us, there are other thought processes on this graph. If you look at them, maybe some red ones and some orange ones, they're just screaming so loudly that they preoccupy us. They rob us of truly showing up for another person and letting this empathy come alive. Now, you've got your studio, quality one, in your intentional creation studio, where we walk through intrinsic validation. We talk about empathy and intuition and walls of resistance. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But I'd like to give you a little bit bigger picture, if I may, so that you can have a better understanding of what we're dealing with here. Because this isn't just a good idea. We're actually built to do this. Physiologically, we are built to do what we're going to talk about tonight. This is not just a good idea. This is a true principle. This is correct science when we understand how it works. So is everybody ready? You got a pen and a paper and ready to do it tonight? I'd love to hear your voices as we go through this process. the great secret to connection. I want to take you to the moment in time. It's when we can take off this backpack, if you will, this sack we might be dragging, whatever visual you'd like to use, the stuff we carry around with us. Sometimes it's bias and prejudice. Sometimes it's anger and frustration. Sometimes it's fantasy and a desire to escape. Whatever it is, it causes us to be focused on us. The word I used this morning, I will use with all of us, the word is selfish, self-centric. Selfish usually connotes something really negative. All I'm saying is it causes us to be focused on us. When we're focused on us, we do not connect. The very things that create connection are not being used. They're not being activated. We're focusing inward. We're talking to someone. We might even ask a question or two, but most of the time we won't know what to say. Or we'll just talk about ourselves. Or we'll share our experiences. Or we'll interrupt conversations. Or we'll be listening to respond. Because all of the thought processes in our head are focused on what we are going through or have gone through. So the key to connection is when we can let go of that sack or take off that backpack and free of our own dialogue and concern, show up listening to another person. Is this easy to do? What do you think? What's your experience been so far? Is it easy to let go of all of your stuff and show up totally free to listen to another person? What do you think?
Hi, it's Bev.
Hi, Bev.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for jumping out.
I just actually got on the line and I heard the key to connection. I would say it can be a challenge sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I want everyone to know. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, but when you let that go, it takes a big weight off when you do let it go and you have the experience of it being the other way. Transition, I think, for some.
Describe what that freedom is, feels like to you.
Mm-hmm. Just like entering a new world. Like a gate is opened. It's like, oh. Like I was at a Mandela art painting thing again this weekend. I wasn't listening to something, and then, you know, I had it in my mind I was going to do something, you know, my way, and then the master artist said, well, with the time constraints, it would be simpler to do it that way. And my first reply was, I'm not looking for simpler. And I thought, did that come out of my mouth? So, yeah. So step back and listen to what he really said. And, you know, basically, there is more than one way to paint this picture. So, yes. And when I stepped back and let go of that, it was like a fun journey to experiment doing it from a different perspective.
Excellent. Everybody capture some of the things that Bev said tonight. She was sharing with us that we can get stuck on the way of doing something, right, wrong, win, lose, that systemic kind of a energy. If you're looking at your assessment, those are the two bottom sections. This isn't about being systemic at all. This is about being intrinsic, about seeing the value in a human being. And when we surrender, we discover, I don't need to be fearful because it's not about me. I don't need to doubt my ability because it's not about me. I don't need to have the correct answer because they don't want answers or advice. I don't need to solve their problems, fix their world. They're not really interested in that. They just want someone who'll listen. And when we listen, the way we're going to talk about it tonight, the person actually feels understood. And the greatest gift we give is having someone feel understood. That's the gift. It's not our wisdom. It's not our insight. It's not fixing them. It's feeling understood. And when they feel understood, there's no longer a need for a wall. So down come the walls. Well, dammed up behind that wall is all of their cooperation and productivity, which now floods back over you. Whew. Wow. That is worth the journey by itself. Now, they feel safe. You feel fed. And you've learned a great deal about them. You've given them the gift of feeling understood. You could say, thank you for sharing. That was wonderful. Thank you for listening. And you could part, and everything would be fine. Now, you may have discovered some things about them with this new perspective. Sometimes we start a conversation. We come with an agenda. We come believing we could fix them or change them or give them advice. We've let all that go, so that doesn't matter anymore. Now we hear what they really are thinking, what they're really experiencing. And we may discover that we have something of value. And if it's the right time, and if what we would like to share would truly serve them, we finally have a safe place where we can share without a wall. This is connection. I say it's that simple. It is that simple. But we make it terribly complicated. So I'd like to list tonight some of the things that we do to make it terribly complicated so that we can just take a look and say, wow, that's why? Oh, my goodness. What are some of the things I do to make it terribly complicated? Everybody ready? Number one, let's try to do these in order. We're getting ready to approach someone. I mentioned it earlier. Number one is our focus on self. We're carrying a sack. So we talk about letting go of the sack, emptying it, looking at all those experiences in our life. That's barrier number two, seeing our experiences. Because sometimes they're very painful, and we really don't want to look at them. If that's a barrier, you may need some therapeutic intervention. And be okay with that. Because connection will not occur until we deal with this piece. So we want to be able to see our experiences. If we're struggling, challenge. Number three, we become willing to let them go. Willing to let them go. So, well, why wouldn't I be willing to let them go? Here's a couple of reasons. One, they've been my excuses for why I haven't done certain things. This is somebody who hurt me, or something that was done to me, or something I did, or something I didn't have, or something in my parents, or my finances, or whatever it might be. These are all my reasons. These are my excuses. How could I let go of my excuses? What will become of me if I have no safety net, no excuses to justify my challenges? Well, we discover when we are willing, and if this is a barrier, then here's what we'll want to consider. When we carry these around and we use them, do we really get the benefit we are seeking? Do people really truly feel sorry for us? Do we just drain them? Is being a victim, which is this what's called, being a victim, serving us? Because most of the time when we're in a victim mentality, we see people who look like they could give us a lot more sympathy, a lot more support, and they give us a little, and it's never enough. And we can get angry, frustrated, even resentful, when in fact they may have given us all they have. We do not want to be the butt of the joke. We do not want to be the one that people avoid. The people that when they see us on their caller ID say, I haven't got 2 hours today. Are we givers or are we takers? Now this sounds really harsh. And the only reason why I feel so comfortable speaking so boldly is because I know this place personally. If I'm not careful, I can go back there really easily. Lots of reasons. But when we let this go, Beverly was talking about that freeing, almost going through a transition. Wow. It is so freeing to not carry around all those excuses, because the very dreams that we have cannot be created so long as we are a victim. So, that's number three, a willingness to let go. Number four, a willingness to engrave. To engrave these experiences on our heart. Because some people would like to let go of it and then forget it. Wouldn't that be great? Just let it go and forget it and move on. Step number four is, I'm going to get value out of that experience. Not so that I can suck energy out of everyone, but so that I can use them, these experiences, to serve others. So I'm going to be willing to engrave it because I want to use it. I want there to be purpose in that suffering. We'll get something good out of it. So number four is a willingness to engrave. So we say, wow, I would just like to forget and move on. And we say, wow, wouldn't it be tragic? Wouldn't it be tragic that you step back out into the world and you walk by all of these people who might be in the middle of where you've been, and you could, with a kind word and a listening ear, lift and build and bless their life? And the true joy that fills the empty soul comes only through this mechanism. You can't buy enough stuff. You can't do enough things to fill it. It's in vain. So there's a willingness to engrave. Number five, a willingness to notice others. Now, we often think we notice, and the truth is we do notice more than we verbalize. So when I say notice, it's not just seeing, It's speaking. It's speaking what we see. Oh, that was very kind of you to do that. Well, it looks like those mosquitoes are eating you alive. Let me go get you some insect repellent. It's noticing what's going on in a person's life and verbalizing it. Now, we all know that when somebody notices what we're going through, good or ill, it's wonderful to have somebody notice us, to say something kind, thoughtful. It is joyful to spend a day in this space, noticing and verbalizing. Step number 6. This is an interesting one, because this is when we start to feel. We make the decision to feel what someone else is feeling. Now, that's kind of a big category, because we want to break it down now into a couple steps. 6A is that we become safe. We become safe by listening. Now, we've talked in the past about listening to doors, because we got everybody with a wall around them. We've got a conversation going on in the background. We've got a wall with a door. We talk about listening for the door to open. That's the visual that helps you see that moment in time. But we're going to listen, truly listen. No bias, no prejudice, no judgment. Just listen. Listening is not agreeing with someone. It's a desire to understand someone. So we listen, so we become safe. And the safety comes that when they finish talking, what do most people do when someone finishes talking? Or even before they finish their sentence, what do most people do?
Interrupt.
What do they do to jump? I'm sorry?
Interrupt.
They interrupt. Yeah, they're just listening to react, to respond, to give their 2 cents worth. The person who's safe, the safety comes that when someone finishes talking and they take a breath, we don't pounce on them like a fox on a mouse. We're just still peacefully listening. They look puzzled. I'm just listening. Or a moment ago, you mentioned this. Could you tell me more about that? That's what creates the safety. I have been observing conversations more intently over the last few weeks. I just find it fascinating how people just jump all over each other during conversations. Like at a dinner meeting. Wow. To be the one who's peacefully sitting back, asking questions, drawing out of people their stories, their experiences. That's the safe person. B is creating a safe place. A safe place. A safe place is when you've taken all those experiences and you've been willing to let go of the anger and the fear and the disappointment and the resentment and the guilt and the shame. You've been willing to engrave them on your heart so they're right here, ready, available. And as you listen, I was talking this morning with a client about Dan Goldman's book, Social Intelligence. Brilliant book. It talks about the bone-skin barrier, that as we're listening to someone intently, that our memories are being pulled to the surface. They're like floating to the surface. And they help us better understand what somebody else is going through. We begin to feel what they're experiencing. And that prompts a question. We don't have to force these questions. We don't have to script these questions. We just have to care enough to truly listen intently enough for them to come to the surface. And then we ask, wow, when that happened, did you ever do this? You ever had that experience? That's when someone starts to go, wow, I understand. they understand me. Now, I want to mention really, it's important at this moment in the discussion that we often believe we understand where someone is. We understand. Emphatically, I state tonight, it doesn't matter if you understand unless they know you understand. We demonstrate our understanding not by saying, I understand, not by telling them our stories and our experiences. We demonstrate we understand by asking them questions that only someone who understands would know to ask. Questions only someone who knows would know to ask. That creates the safe place. And down come the walls. That's number six, to feel what someone's feeling. Number seven, I want you to write the word timing. Walls are down. Cooperation has flooded out. Trust has been established. We may have some things we'd love to share at that moment. And we want to stop back and say, is this the right time? Because the truth is that that thought process that wants to fix doesn't want to wait. So we want to make sure this isn't about fixing. This is something that would truly benefit them and you, mutually beneficial. Is this the right time? Number eight, the barrier is invite. This barrier invite, because there are many of us who are a little introverted. And we have challenges talking to people, especially if we represent a company or product we'd like to share with them. We're a little introverted, we're a little clumsy, just a little bit awkward. And intrinsic validation gives us the opportunity to have a comfortable, natural conversation. And all we're going to do, if we stay in that timid space, is prolong invitations. We're going to get to that point, and we will just spend a whole lot of time. We will have created a safe place. We are safe. The walls are down. Cooperation's been established. It's flooding out everywhere. We know what they need, and we're still afraid to share it. Remember, this isn't about us. If we've cared to truly listen, and we have identified a need, now we care enough to share an idea. If it's the right time, and if it's mutually beneficial. We never want to use this process called intrinsic validation of connecting with a person as an excuse to just prolong or postpone our fear. Invite is a natural, caring experience. If everything leading up to that point has been done with integrity and intention, it's appropriate. It's important. So inviting. Well, those were our major barriers. Focus on ourselves when we start. Seeing our experiences, seeing them, just looking at them, a hesitancy, a willingness to let go of the fear and the anger and the frustration and the guilt and the shame. Because this is our safety net. This is our excuse for that willingness to engrave it on our heart, to use it in the service of another. Number five, our willingness to notice another person, which is not just seeing it, but speaking it. Six, our willingness to feel what someone else is feeling by being a safe place, listening, understand, then be creating a safe place by demonstrating that understanding by asking empathetic questions. Number seven, timing, making sure that we're not just going to jump in and destroy everything we've done to create that connection. This could be the right time. Systemically, right, wrong, win, lose, it's always the right time. doesn't want to wait. But this may be enough for the day. It may be enough for the day. Let this develop. If you built a bridge to someone, you can walk back over it tomorrow. And eight, having the courage to care enough about someone to share, to invite them, and to share with them if it is mutually beneficial, that which we want to share. Those are our barriers. Now, I leave those out for you tonight because I want to be available to address any one of these with you. So look at these eight. Just ask yourself, gosh, which one is my biggest challenge? Where am I having the most difficult time in connection? And let's take a look at your assessment and see what measurements might be showing up. I might like to not confront people. I might have a hard time speaking the truth. I may not see their challenges that clearly because I've got so much going on in my life, whatever it might be. But take a look at those eight things because I'm here tonight to serve anyone who's on this phone, and we'll stay as long as we need to or as short as it's going to be, whatever it is. There's our eight barriers. What barrier would you like me to assist you with tonight so that when you leave here, you're better equipped to connect with another person? Who'd like to jump out and tell me which one they'd like to work on?
Dave?
Yes.
It is Doug Stoddard.
Hi, Doug. Great to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. You too. I always hear it 2 weeks later. It's interesting. I've had a lot of great experiences being able to overcome these areas, but I find occasionally I keep dropping back into the fix-it mode. But at least I'm aware of it much more than I used to be. But it's I think I'm doing really good. And then you ever have one of those days where you feel like you aren't doing as good as you used to?
Sounds like we have somebody's cell phone ringing. Answer to your question, Doug, is every day.
Oh, well, that's encouraging.
Some
days
the journey.
It's really, really good.
Have you been able to step back and say, you know, those days when it's really, really good, it's because I'm, and when I'm challenged, it's because I'm, have you been able to identify what drives those days?
Sure. Like the other day, I had a really good day because the first hour or two of the morning, I was structured, I was focused, and I was able to bring my mind into being really focused and very calm. And so consequently, most of the day went that way. But other days, something will happen. My son moved in with us and with his five kids, and that's created a little bit of patience. So some of those days, they're not quite as organized or a lot of interruptions at night. And so it's just not as structured and focused in those mornings. So I recognize that's what happens on those days when I'm just not really tuned in to people like I should be. But
I think you've identified it beautifully. Could we use the word awareness? Because agape, by its very definition, means a heightened level of awareness. The word agape, if everybody will remember, agape is the Greek word for love. One of the Greek words, there's eros, pia, philo, agape, but agape means that heightened level of awareness. Agape was translated into the English word charity, and charity has been often just reduced to the English word love. But it truly is more than just warm and fuzzy love or maternal love or brotherly love or philo, which is like philanthropist, you know, someone who's giving brotherly love. This is a deeper love that we're talking about. It's a heightened level of awareness. I'm going to show up conscious and alert. And Doug said, those mornings when I spend a time getting grounded, perhaps reading a scroll, some may want to read Holy Writ, whatever it might be to put you in that space so that you're consciously stepping out into the day, you have preemptively prepared yourself, proactively prepared yourself for those moments when you'll be with a person. And if you're conscious with the training you're going through, you can do a masterful job of listening and asking empathetic questions and taking down walls of resistance. No matter how trained you are and expert you are in this area, if you show up in that environment without awareness, all of those other thought processes in your assessment are showing up instead. You might need to be right. You might be somewhere else in your mind fantasizing about what it's going to be like or catastrophizing about something that might happen or frustrated with a boss or worried about a project or running around like a chicken with your head cut off with a million things going on. That's what shows up. All these other thought processes show up. And I started this discussion tonight with this is one of the clearest areas for almost every one of you. But it takes absolute consciousness to shut off the rest of the noise so you can show up in your natural strength. So Doug gave us great counsel tonight. I do better when I start the morning in a way that I create awareness. With your son there with their five kids, how important is it for you, Doug, to start your day that way?
Well, I have, it's really important. Sometimes, though, I'm just finding myself by the end of the day when I come back, they're very active, great kids, very active, but get back into that world after doing my other job. And it, I got to be honest, there's many times when I'm not aware. I know I'm not there. But I think that's an adjustment. Just because we know these things and the environment changes like that doesn't mean you're automatically going to show up the way you should every time. At least I don't. Even though I'm
well,
aware of
it's Herculean.
Of
it's Herculean.
Yeah,
and remember, was Hercules a real person?
No.
No, he's a mythical character, and it would be hard for him.
Yeah, that's, but you know, when I am aware around them, my whole focus is to serve them and to help them feel good about themselves. And they've moved a lot. He set it up the mortuary school here. That's why they're with us. But anyway, so, but it's so nice, Dave, when you do get to that awareness state. It just feels like you're in a sailboat and it's just calm waters. And you feel so much more powerful to do and to show up and to care and to serve. To be in tune. And so I really love getting into those places. I'm getting there more and more, more frequently.
Last question for you, Doug. How do you feel about yourself? You've been in that awareness space.
You mean when I'm in that place?
When you've been in that space. We've got a conversation that's going on in the back of background. If you could just press *6 on your phone, it will mute your phone, and that would be really helpful if you could just press *6.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.
just press star 6, and then you can come back off if you'd like to make a comment, but that will help us all. We record this, and we want to keep it as clean as we can because several people can't be with us tonight, and they're going to want to listen to it in the morning. Doug, here's the question. When you pay the price to be aware and you feel that power and you serve, you're lying in bed now, ready to go to sleep. How are you feeling about you?
I feel very good about myself. Very, it's like you say, the real Doug showed up. And the self-esteem and confidence is very, very good. Just like I can do anything. That's just how I feel. You know, it's been a good day. I've overcome challenges. I've been able to adjust to situations. I've shown up for people. I've received the whispers and I've acted on them. I wasn't self-centered. It's all the things that make you feel good about who you are and what you're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. When we actually show up aware and using our greatest strength, that is our true self. And when we spend time, as Doug has said, with our true self, with who we really are, it is so refreshing, so freeing, so beautiful and exciting. And it's one of the great ways of healing self-esteem. So if we have a challenge, we talked about self-esteem last week. If you look across the table at self-esteem up in the top right-hand corner, what we know is that we are talking about the first way of healing our self-esteem. Yes, we are connecting with people. We are being safe, creating a safe place, taking down walls of resistance, having them feel understood and intrinsically. That means at a deep, rich level, they are feeling validated. And when we get that wash back over us, which sometimes comes when we're lying in bed at night and reflecting on how good it felt to be in that role, we are actually healing our own soul. That's what does the healing, is when we spend time with our true self. And here we do it in the service of others. Doug, that is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's great to be on the call.
Have you on the call. Who else would like to jump out? In terms of those 8 barriers, anybody struggling with a specific barrier?
No.
Anyone that I can serve? Okay, well, take these 8 barriers, write them in your journal, and take a look at each one of these, because when we're struggling with connection, something is breaking down in one of these spaces. We're going to add one at the very beginning before you get to 1, because Doug gave it to us tonight. It's awareness. Before I even come to the process, I have prepared myself for the process. I've been reading scroll number 2. That's your homework assignment for this week, to truly read scroll number 2 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. It'll create miracles for you in this area. It will assist you in staying present. If you practice the one sentence, and how will I react? I will silently and to myself say, I love you. And it changes the smile on your face, the brightness in your eyes, the wrinkle in your brow. It does marvelous things, just that alone. But we've got to be aware before we would ever say silently to ourselves, I love you. So awareness, we start with awareness. Then we come to this process and we say, wow, in my awareness, am I focused on myself or others? In my awareness, am I avoiding looking at my stuff? In my awareness, am I unwilling to let it go? And just go down each one of these. This is what Ramona and I do. When we're having a bad day, something's not working for a couple of days, we go back into a principle and dissect it and go, wow, where am I not following the principle? You make the correction, and you begin to have the experience again. So take these eight, work through them this week as you're connecting with people, and just know this. Remember, we're going back through these six qualities of an intentional creator. If you'll go back into your studio, quality number one, there are a number of little 11-minute and 13-minute and 15-minute segments you can download. They're MP3 files. Download them to your smartphone or to an iPod or burn them to a CD. You have permission to do that for your ears only. And then just listen to one each day. That will also help you keep your awareness at a heightened level through the week. But just know as you're going through this, in awareness to be present, you will occasionally have other thought processes from your assessment try to sabotage your efforts. Next week, we're going to go into mental creation. It's one of the biggest disturbers. It's one of the. It takes us off into fantasy, catastrophe, frustration, overwhelm, obligation. All kinds of stuff can be going on in that area. So as we go through this process, we're healing self-esteem. The greatest way to do it is connection with others. And we'll start on the very first barrier that's keeping us from maximizing the strength, mental creation. We'll go through mental creation, then we'll work our way through these six qualities this time. But come prepared so that when we get done, you've been healing your self-esteem.
We don't have a problem. We know about January.
I'm having a conversation about January. Can you hear me? Somebody's talking about January.
Yeah.
Could you press *6 on your phone, please, and mute out your line? That would be really wonderful. Thank you. We'll work our way through this time. And when we come back to connection to people next time, let us have fewer of these barriers here and fewer of the other thought processes weighing us down. Okay, before we wrap up tonight, is there anything else anyone would like to add before we end our session tonight?
Dave?
Yes.
Hi, this is Sherry Pepper.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I just wanted to thank you. I had lots of thoughts, but since I'd been absent for a while, I felt like I needed to just sit quietly and listen.
Well, thank you. You know, Gary, you're one of the people I thought about when I said to Nikki this morning, I want to send a personal invite to everyone today. Because there's just something right now that's so important for all of us to go through this process and to learn these principles. And thank you for coming back. Join us next Tuesday night again. And let's go back through this as a refresher course and raise your awareness up to a new heightened level. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm out.
Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great night. And we'll see you next Tuesday evening. Take on mental creation homework.
All right.
Scroll to 3 times a day. Homework. Listen to quality number one in your studio, those little individual recordings. And we'll spend just a moment getting a report from you all next week on how it turned out. And then let's take on mental creation and learn how to use our mind constructively. This is our single greatest barrier to connection. It is also to taking action, creating our dreams. We want to use this one differently. Let's come back next week prepared to take it on. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you then. Good night. Just come off of mute and say good night, if you would, please.
Good night. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Great, thanks, everybody.
Good night. Thanks, everybody, have a great 4th of July. Have a great 4th, everyone. And those of you in Canada, you get to have a great 4th of July, too. It just won't be Independence Day.
Night.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.